Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay, let's try that again.
Good evening.
That's better. Good to see you tonight. Appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together. A couple of quick things. If you looked in the bulletin under the one about Miss Margaret Colvin's passing, I put in there that the funeral was held on Monday, and then I put tomorrow's date attached to that. The date is wrong. It was this past Monday, and so I just wanted to make people aware of that. I think most of you already knew that, but I just wanted to make sure that you did. Also, thankful that Mr. Mayo is doing good. They appreciate everyone that came by. I went up there. I waited till a little bit later because I figured there would be an influx of people right after services, and so I went ahead and went home and got something to eat real quick and then went up there and stayed with him until he was discharged. And they appreciated everyone who came by, the thoughts, the prayers. I told him he looked like an athlete being carted off the field as he went through, as he waved and everything. Also told him that there are easier ways to get out of listening to my sermons than to do that. But he was in good spirits and appreciated everyone's thoughts and prayers on their behalf. You know, I don't think it's a misstatement to say that we live in difficult times. I mean, we're still dealing with the effects of the pandemic. There are a lot of economical issues that could be raised. There's national unrest. There are racial injustices. And that's just some things, wars that are taking place that are on a national and on a world level. That's not even mentioning the personal things that individuals in this room or that are listening are struggling with. People are searching, in many cases, searching for answers, searching for cures, searching for direction, searching for peace. And that brings us tonight to the book of Psalms. You know, as you look at the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms is really a very big book that covers a lot of different topics. During the pandemic, when we were not meeting on Wednesday nights, and I was doing the live stream from the dining room table at the house, I'd asked for people's favorite passages, and we kind of started going through those. And it was amazing the number of those passages that came from the book of Psalms. It has been called a miniature Bible. It covers topics like God, man, creation, sin, sacrifice, forgiveness, repentance, obedience, life, redemption, mercy, justice, grace, the Messiah, worship, affliction, hope, faith, love, truth, and on the list could go. So many things covered in this great book. Many times if you buy just the New Testament includes the book of Psalms with it. And so this evening, we want to center our attention on one of those psalms, and that is Psalm 91. The author of Psalm 91 is unknown, as is also the situation that was being faced that prompted the writing of it. Jewish tradition ascribes the authorship of an anonymous psalm to the author of the previous psalm. If that be the case here, then that would be Moses. Moses, definitely one who dealt with his share of difficulty, definitely could identify with the sentiment and the things written about in this psalm. Some believe that it was a psalm of David that was written after the pestilence that was brought on by his sin of numbering the people in 2 Samuel chapter 24. And still others believe that it is a conversation between David, Solomon, and God. With David speaking in verse 1, Solomon speaking in verse 2, David continuing to speak in verses 3 through 13, and then finally God speaking in verses 14 through 16. But regardless of the author of the psalm, it is apparent that this individual is dealing with great difficulties. He's got a lot going on in his life. But at the same time, he has a way to deal with it all. He talks about a dwelling place, a secret place where he can go during these times. And that's what we want to talk about this evening. Every faithful child of God has this secret place. We all have access to it. A place where we may go in times of difficulty. And that place consists of three things that we see in Psalm 91. Number one tonight, this secret place is a place of dwelling. The secret place is a place of dwelling. The psalmist begins in verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter. The American Standard Version says the secret place. The shelter, the secret place of the Most High. This person will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. A place of dwelling. A place here of refuge. The phrase here, dwells in the shelter or dwells in the secret place, denotes a nearness. It denotes a relationship with the God of heaven. The person who is under consideration here is an individual who is dwelling with God. This is a faithful child of His. If one is not a Christian, one is not living faithfully, this psalm offers nothing for that individual. But it does offer so much to those of us who are striving to live our lives for God. This individual who is dwelling in the secret place of God, that person abides, the Bible says, under the shadow of God. Under the shadow of the Almighty. This brings to mind the protection of God. It is this individual that you and I want to be. It is this individual that you and I must be if we're going to be pleasing to God. It's this individual that can say the words of verse 2 where the psalmist says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. The psalmist says, this is what I know about my God. This is about what I know about my God. When I dwell in this secret place, my experience has taught me this about my Father. He is, number one, my refuge. When I think about a refuge, I think about home. A place where I can go. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. I can go home and there I'm safe. God's my fortress. Nothing can harm me. And then the psalmist says, the God in whom I trust, He is my trustworthy God. There I'm secure. The psalmist says, when I am with my God, when I'm in the secret place, I'm home, I'm safe, I'm secure. In verses 9 and 10, he says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. The Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague shall come near your tent. So does that mean that I won't get sick? Does that mean I won't lose my job? Does that mean I won't have to deal with a loved one passing away? Does that mean that I don't have to deal with any of these troubles or problems that might happen in this life? It's not what he's saying. Remember, we're reading poetry. But he is saying that those things, really and truthfully, ultimately, they can't touch me. Ultimately, none of those things are going to matter. I've told you this many times. The God who was with you that brought you to it is the same God that will see you through it. It's not to say that God causes those things that we deal with. I don't think God gave my dad cancer. I don't think God caused that to happen. I think we live in a fallen world where there are diseases, where there are issues, where there are problems. And that's what happened. But I will tell you this, God walked every step of the way as we went through that. God was right there beside him and beside me and beside the rest of our family. That's the God that we serve. No, he doesn't remove all the problems. He doesn't remove all the obstacles. But he says, I'll climb the mountains with you. I'll sit beside you in the valleys. I'll be with you every step of the way. I mean, you think about Jesus. The ultimate example, he dwelt with God perfectly, did he not? He lived a sinless life. The Hebrew writer tells us that he lived a life without sin. Peter would tell us that he was perfect, a lamb without spot and without blemish, that he committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth. Jesus did it all right. But he still had problems, didn't he? Eventually leading to him being crucified on a cross. Paul would write of all these things that we deal with in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 17 and 18, "For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. The things that are seen are transient, they're temporary, they don't last. But the things that are unseen are eternal." Paul says that's where we place our focus. This place of dwelling, it emphasizes the relationship that we have with God, talking with Him, listening to Him, communing with Him. The secret place, it's a place of dwelling, a place of refuge from the troubles of this world. Number two tonight, the secret place is a place of defense. It is a place of defense. In verses 3 through 8 and verses 11 through 13, the psalmist talks about how this secret place is a place where God defends us. The author lists various reasons why we should want to dwell in the secret place, and they all deal with protection. In verse 3, he says, "For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence." The snare of the fowler, a snare that this person created to entrap a bird. Boy, Satan has the snares, doesn't he? He sets them all around us, hoping to entrap us. The psalmist says God can deliver you from those traps. Verse 4, "He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge." It brought to mind when Jesus talked about the city of Jerusalem. Remember He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem," how He wanted to cover them like a hen covers its chicks. That idea of protecting them. He says His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. If you're like me, I knew what a shield was. Didn't know what a buckler was. A buckler is another type of shield. It's a very small mobile shield. The first shield is talking about the large shields that we think about when we think about armies that went into battle with these large shields that could protect them from a wide array of things. But the buckler was a very small mobile shield that you could use to protect yourself against very specific attacks. And when you put the two together, you have a picture here of the complete protection of God, protecting you both from general things that come your way and from those very specific things that Satan hurls. God wants to protect us from those things. In verses 5 and 6, he says, "You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday." Notice in verses 5 and 6, you have this rotation back and forth of things that happen in the dark, things that happen in the light, things that happen in the dark, things that happen in the light. Once again, the picture here is God's complete protection. Doesn't matter when, God's still there. Isn't that a wonderful thing that no matter when it is, you can talk to God? I mean, if you call me at 3 in the morning, we're probably not going to have a great conversation. But you know, I can awake at 3 in the morning and I speak to God and He listens. Isn't that a wonderful thing? No matter when it is, God's always there. In verses 7 and 8, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. The psalmist says, you're not going to fall. But you'll see the fall of those who seek to do you harm. If we're faithful to God, there comes a day when all the wrongs that have been done to us, those things will be taken care of. And of course, the one who is ultimately responsible for those wrongs, Satan, he will be taken care of. In verse 11, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." If that verse sounds familiar to you, it should. In Matthew chapter 4 and Luke 4, as Jesus is being tempted by Satan, remember, he took him up to the pinnacle of the temple. He's somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 feet in the air. And Satan says, "Cast yourself off of here, because it is written," and this is the passage that Satan quotes from, talking about God's protection. Now, Satan misapplies it. The verse isn't talking about God's protection of careless acts that I commit. If I walk down here and play in the middle of Highway 51, odds are I'm going to get struck by a vehicle. I can't walk down there and say, "Well, God said he'll protect me, so I'm just going to step in front of the..." That's not how that works. And that's how Satan was trying to apply this passage to Jesus. But it is talking about God's providential protection. It is talking about how God is there for us, how God seeks to protect us from what Satan seeks to do. In verse 13, "You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot." As I read that passage, I thought about the Memphis Zoo, because we've gone to the zoo numerous times throughout my life. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to step into the lion enclosure and go hop on the lion's back, right? I just, depending on how hungry the lion is, that might not work out well for me. You go into the snake enclosure, which is not my favorite place, but they're in enclosures, so I feel fine there. You look at some of those, especially the highly venomous ones, and I don't want to go and step on one of those. But that's the depiction that the psalmist paints here. You'll tread on the lion and the adder. You'll trample them underfoot. Why? Because God's there. This secret place, it's a place of refuge. It is a place of defense. And then finally, number three tonight, it is a place of deliverance. It is a place of deliverance. The person speaking now shifts to the God of heaven. And God says, "Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." And the psalmist has been up to verse 13. He's been talking about all these things. He said, "This is what God will do. This is what I believe through the life that I live, through the experiences that I've had. This is what I believe about God." And God, it comes in verses 14 through 16 and says, "That's exactly right." God offers deliverance. Notice what he says. "Because he holds fast to me in love." Do we love God? God says, "I'll deliver you." "Because he knows my name." This isn't just a knowledge of, "Hey, Yahweh, I know that." To know God's name means that you have a relationship with him. To know his name means you know who he is, what he does. He says, "I protect him because we have that relationship. Because he knows my name." And he says, "I answer him because he calls to me." I think too often times we have, let me restate that, too often times I have a tendency to say, hey, I've got this under control, until I don't. And then that's when I call out to God, right? I don't think I'm alone in that, if I'm guessing. We have a tendency to rely on ourselves until that reliance is now, I can't handle it. God here depicts an individual who calls to him on a regular basis, who calls out to him, and he says, when he calls, I'll answer. God offers deliverance. Deliverance from the evils of this life. Deliverance from sin through the sacrifice of his Son. Deliverance ultimately in heaven is our eternal home. Well, that's the God that we serve. We should love him. We should seek to know him. We should call out to him. Let me ask you tonight, friend, are you dwelling in the secret place? A place of refuge? A place of defense? A place of deliverance? If not, friend, why not? Are you a Christian? Friend, if you're not, you can change that tonight. Believing in Jesus, turning from sin, confessing that belief, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Or maybe you have done that, but you've gone away from it. Friend, come back home. We sing a song sometimes. It's number 366 in our book. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Friend, let me ask you, and please ask yourself, are you near to the heart of God this evening? Friend, if you're not, come right now as together we stand and sing.